You're listening to Inside CHSL, the official podcast of the Detroit Catholic High School League. Inside CHSL is proudly sponsored by Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Here are your hosts, Brendan Johnson and Jeremy Otto.
And we welcome you again to another edition of Inside CHSL. As you heard, it's Brendan Johnson here with Jeremy Otto again this week. And Jeremy, the high school season continues to roll on. A lot of great stuff that happened this past week, and it's great to be back on the air with you, partner.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny to say, but at this point in the season, especially on the football side, I mean, if you're 0-2, you're in trouble. If you're 2-0, you're feeling pretty good, and 3-0 feels really good. But now league play starts to start across all of these sports. You get into the thick of what this is going to be in terms of who is going to be some of the best teams in the Catholic League. So that's always a fun part of the year. And real quick, before we really ramp into our content here today, I want to send a big shout out to Green Hills and Shrine and Regina. They all submitted story ideas for our podcast. We are going to actually use a couple on the Green Hills side. I say stay tuned for that. I think there's an interview maybe entwined there and some stories coming up with the swim and dive and the girls golf as well. So we're not going to quite get to it today, but we definitely want to dive into that and dive in a little bit further as those seasons go on. But we really need you to submit those stories. We were able to glean some good stuff from Twitter and articles, but you know, especially for the non-footballs of the world, unfortunately, your sports don't get as much coverage as they deserve. And we otherwise don't know because we're not at those games. We can't, you know, have the pulse in every athlete in the Catholic League. So if your athlete has a great storyline, even if you're a parent listening, you can tweet at us. If you're an AD, please use that link to submit. Makes it so easy for us and for you. Just a couple details needed. It'll take you all of 2 minutes. And it's easiest for you to know who had the best game the previous week. And if we don't get to it that specific week, it gives us ideas of, oh, you know, this person's good or they're having a good season. So we can kind of follow up on those storylines as well going forward.
No doubt about that. Well, and again, we appreciate those that have submitted. Look forward to continuing to get different submissions of great stories throughout the year. But we've got a great slate of a variety of different results and storylines from this past week in the Catholic High School League. So let's take it to J&B's best moments of the last week.
Well, you look at, we're going to start on the soccer side. Will Przniski had a heck of a game, and this was a game we talked about last week as being a big one. Lutheran North and Cranbrook, both undefeated. Lutheran North had quite a few games under their belt. They're already 8-0 at the time of record to start. They came up with a 2-1 win overall. Cranbrook now drops to 3-1, but the goalie had quite the game. He stopped two PKs in the second half of play, and the second one coming with just a 1:31 left, 10 saves overall. That's one of your top performances from last week, certainly.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And Jeremy, it was a game we circled, we had on the What to Watch last week, and we knew it would be a good one. Of course, going to PKs and an impressive win. Just to say, it's been a really impressive fall for Lutheran North. You're going to hear a lot about them, I think, as the podcast goes on this week and going forward. They've had a lot of success across the board in their different sports this fall, which has to be pretty exciting in that school. Some other results in soccer this week, a couple key games. Toledo St. Francis knocked off De La Salle, the Division II number one team in the state. Orchard Lake St. Mary's defeated Divine Child 2-0. Cardinal Mooney took down Bishop Foley. Bishop Foley, who was ranked as well, 6-2. Cardinal Mooney with the win there. Detroit Crystal Rite, a team we mentioned to watch for last week on the podcast. Lumen Christi, they take down Lumen Christi 8-1, the final score there. Brother Rice defeated Brighton 3-0. And Shrine defeated Genesee Christian 4-0.
On the football side, I want to give a shout out quickly to Aiden Hutchinson, obviously the Divine Child grad. So much hype going into this Lions season. He got it done. You know, Mike Tirico and Chris Collins, they talked about him so much. I think they said it in the last, I don't know if it was overtime or the last 5 minutes of the second half. This game hinges on what the Rams do against Aiden Hutchinson. That just shows you how dominant he's become, and teams are game planning before him. Had that big sack at the end of regulation, 26-20, the overtime victory for your Lions. Divine Child, his alma mater, also defeating Bloomfield Hills this week, 42-0. So I'm sure he is a proud Falcon here today. Detroit Catholic Central, also with a big win over a CHSL champion last year, Toledo Catholic Central. That was 21-7. How about the day for Jaden Pyden? This sticks out. He's right up there with your keeper on the other side for Lutheran North. Two touchdowns and a pick. He was solid on the ground and on defense. Everest Collegiate down in Division 8 with a huge win over Ubley as well. This Everest team, we've heard some really good things about them, and they continue to show up on the field in the early goings of this season. 21-14, their final over that one. Ubley, just for context, they've been to a state championship 3 of the last 5 years as well. Then some other football scores, just kind of running down the gamut here, and wins. Number 2, De La Salle with a big win over Detroit King, 35-13. De La Salle is just one of those programs. I mean, we talked about it in our first episode. You expect them to dip down at some point, but they just don't. And, you know, the Lions, they're talking about being the hunted this year. That feels like what De La Salle has been over the last 3-4 years since Dan Roan has been there. Toledo St. Francis also defeating Brother Rice 49-28. Orchard Lake St. Mary's with a win, big win over Toledo St. John's 47-0. Detroit Loyola got their first of the season as well over Detroit Cody 41-0 there. Shrine defeats Lutheran Westland 14-7. Big couple wins for Shrine to begin this year, and last year only having 1 year with the coaching change and that program going under a kind of a total rehaul as well. Lutheran North got a big win over Livonia Clarenceville 49-6. We hear a lot of good things about that Mustang squad on the football side as well. Riverview Gabriel Richard defeated Muskegon Catholic Central 27-0, and Cabrini over Parkway Christian 50-2-0. How about the 2 50-plus wins for the Monarchs to begin the year? And that sounds like a long list, because it is, because these football teams are once again showing out despite this league getting better, especially in the top division.
Yeah, no question about that. You can tell there's just talent up and down the board, each division. The Central Division, of course, to no surprise, uber talented. And there's obviously a lot of great talent through the AA, Intersectional 1 and Intersectional 2. So it's going to make for some great Catholic League matchups as we start to get into league play. You see the Central Division's had a couple games so far, but we're going to get into full league play here in the next few weeks to kind of tease our What's to Come segment. And that'll be really exciting to follow with so much talent. Talk about exciting. The Michigan Volleyball Classic. We had a bunch of coverage about it last week right here on Inside CHSL. And what was cool, Jeremy, if you missed the podcast last week, it was put on by Mercy High School. They played it outdoors at the old Farmington Hills Harrison field. And they had a Lawrence Tech men's volleyball inter-squad scrimmage. They had a CYO scrimmage, and then the four Final Four teams from Division One last year played exhibition matchups. They had over 500 people in attendance, and they raised over $20,000 that is going to benefit the Rogel Cancer Center for Breast Cancer Research. Just truly incredible. A great event and something that was family fun for everybody. They raised a great deal of money. And it's going to, of course, a great cause. So just want to give a shout out to Mercy. And again, Coach Andrew Thompson, who joined us last week, their assistant coach, really was one of the key people in putting that event together. So we appreciated his time and some of his feedback afterwards. He said it went as great as they could have hoped for, which was great to hear for them. Couple other volleyball results. Divine Child defeated Cabrini 3-0. Father Gabriel Richard defeated Riverview Gabriel Richard 3-1. Regina defeated Cranbrook 3-0. Mercy defeated Toledo Notre Dame 3-0. Marion defeated Notre Dame Prep 3-1. And Cardinal Mooney defeated Cristo Rey 3-1.
Well, when you look at postseason awards, you know, over time, whether it's Mr. Basketball, Miss Basketball, Mr. Baseball, there's been a lot that have come from Catholic League schools. And there's a pretty good chance, as we've narrowed down our Miss Volleyball finalist, or the state has, that it'll come from the Catholic League. These are two teams that we've talked about already at length. And these are two players that are on that watch list heading into the final cutdown. Isabel Buzignani from Marion. She's got 1,200 plus kills in her career, 700 digs, really, really good six rotation player, hitting 307 in her career as well. And then on the other side, Campbell Flynn, the setter from Mercy. Not only does she set extremely well, but she hits well, 409 hitting percentage last season as well. She was also the Gatorade Player of the Year. So she may be the favorite heading into this Miss Volleyball competition. Somebody else of note, she was in the mix before the final cut down here, before they named the number one at the end of the year, Ella Sikorsky. She's doing some major things for Regina as well. Just recorded her 1,000th dig of her career. That's to start her senior career, their four-year starter at Libero. She's a multiple sport athlete too, and something to know, that's the cool storyline with some of these people that win some of these awards in the end. She's a basketball player. She's played varsity basketball for a number of years. She's also a really good club soccer player, and that's where she plans to move on and play in college. So there's a lot to watch on the volleyball scene as well, and we're excited to see what those three athletes can do going forward.
A lot of great stuff that happened this past week, and we went through just a good deal of it there. Very excited to see the Lions get that win, and shout out Aiden Hutchinson, Catholic League alum. I know Jeremy mentioned that a little bit there, for him to have the performance he did and to be such a staple in the NFL. One of a couple Catholic League guys, or several Catholic League guys, that are still actively playing in the NFL right now, but maybe the most mentioned and most a famed player of the Catholic League alums currently playing in the NFL. So that kind of wraps what we had for this past week. We want to jump ahead now to what's to come this week in the Catholic League. And Jeremy, we're going to start with a classic rivalry out on the pitch. It's Bishop Foley Shrine boys soccer. Every year it's a classic across all sports. They have classic rivalry games. This has the making. Bishop Foley looking for a comeback or a rebound after that loss to Cardinal Mooney. Both have had a decent start to their season, though, and when it's a rivalry game, you know the gloves are off and anything goes.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the case this year, but last year they actually played the soccer game, the varsity soccer game, before the varsity football game. So it made for a pretty unique atmosphere, and that kind of tells what the rivalry just shows from both sides of the coin and just all their sports going forward. Another football game, American football that is, to watch out for, De La Salle and Orchard Lake, both undefeated teams, 2-0 to start the year. Obviously, we talked about it. It's not going to make or break your season to go 2-1. But I tell you what, if Orchard Lake St. Mary's is able to knock off the power that De La Salle is, I think that says a lot for where their program is growing and getting towards, you know, after George Port retired. They've had a little bit of difficulty getting back to that top level, but they've definitely got some top athletes. We've seen some of the recruiting battles going on, even in state, from some of the teams that want the Eaglets athletes coming out of this season. So I'm really interested to see what happens in that one. And on the cross country side, Brendan, things are kicking off as well.
Yeah, no doubt about that. There's three different Catholic League jamborees this week, boys and girls. So participating in the jamboree at Lake St. Clair Metro Park, Macomb County, my neck of the woods, Father Gabriel Richard, Cranbrook, Divine Child, Lutheran North, Marion, Orchard Lake St. Mary's, Regina, and St. Catherine. At Memorial Park in Royal Oak, Sacred Heart, Cabrini, Green Hills, Austin, Cardinal Mooney, Everest, Crystal Ray, Bishop Foley, Riverview Gabriel Richard, Shrine, Liggett, Our Lady of the Lakes, and the Jewish Academy. And then out at Kensington Park, it's a specific Catholic League Central Jamboree, Brother Rice, Detroit Catholic Central, UD Jesuit, and De La Salle. So cross country, the first Catholic League jamborees happening of the season this week. And now we talk about something, Jeremy, that happens once a year. It's the annual Regina versus Marion Powder Puff game. It's one of the best traditions that both of these schools have. The 44th annual Regina Marion. Regina leads the all-time series 26-17, including the last seven meetings with a 14-7 win last year. It's a tradition that it's on the bucket list. When you talk about going to one of those two schools, it is a selling point from the time of admissions, and it's a buildup all the way to their senior year. And we have two great representatives, one from each of these schools. Jeremy has an opportunity to chat with them. And our first guest, the president of Marion High School and an alum, Heather Safran. Jeremy, take it away.
Well, obviously a big event upcoming. I know you played in this event as well. What were some of your key memories, would you say?
Well, actually, so I was not allowed to play in the event. So I was participated as a senior, just watching, cheering. But at the time, I was trying to get recruited to play college volleyball and did not want to get injured. So my coach was recommended that I did not play in the game, which I think was in my best interest. I have known a lot of players who have actually gotten injured or even specifically, I was playing volleyball and trying to play college volleyball and get recruited. And there were some players after me that were volleyball players and ended up playing in the game and did get injured either in practice or the game. So I made a good choice, but it was so hard not to play in the game because being an athlete myself and just wanting to represent Marion, I also love football. So for me, it was very hard to not play in the game, but was incredibly supportive of all my classmates, and it was a super fun event for my senior year.
What sticks out about that game that you at least witnessed, or were with your classmates for?
Well, it was a very exciting game. I think we ended up losing. I wanted to look back at the score. It was 22-21, and it was literally in like the last seconds of the game that we lost. We went up and scored right towards the end of the game, and then Regina scored, and it was with 30 seconds left of the game, and it was really controversial because everyone said her flags were off when she crossed the line, but it counted, and then they got a 2-point conversion. So it was like literally last seconds of the game, and so it was kind of crushing for everybody because our team played really well and felt like they played well enough to win. And again, like I think the whole flag thing was a bit controversial, so I do remember there being a lot of drama surrounding it.
Well, you got to love those type of stories. I'm sure they'd be debated and maybe change a little bit as time goes on.
Yes. Yeah.
But so you've obviously been through it as a student, now turning around as an admin as well. How has the event changed? How is it the same? What would you say there?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, the vibe, it feels very similar. It's such an incredible senior event for both Regina and Marion. I think our girls look forward to it all the way throughout their, 4 years at Marion. And by the time they're seniors, it's like a rite of passage. And they practice for weeks and weeks for one event. It's very rare in any type of sport where you don't have multiple competitions. So there's so much on the line. It's a very heightened, exciting game. And I think the biggest thing back then and now is just it's an incredible bonding experience for the girls. It's we talk a lot about sisterhood at Marion, and I feel like this is one of those like culminating like senior year truly where they are all united and teammates with each other. And you can see the camaraderie in the hallway even. It kind of trickles into the school day. So it's pretty amazing. And that is all very similar to when I graduated in 1996 to now. I think now, with social media and just awareness, and now I think, I don't know what year we're in. We're in the 40s somewhere of playing this game with Regina. So I think it's just now it's such a tradition. It's even stronger now. And so there's just a lot of hype around the game, especially the game week.
Could you see, obviously flag football is on the rise. I think this maybe is a little bit different than outright flag football, but could you see this becoming a sport one day,
Absolutely.
a bunch of
Yeah,
teams
I think
carry?
there's discussion of this becoming an MHSAA sport, girls flag football. So I'm not sure if it's on the horizon for next fall, but definitely in the future. And I think that too has lent itself to this game even being more exciting because I think girls are watching football. They're now participating in flag more. And so I would love to see this become an MHSAA sport. And I definitely think we play 11 on 11. It is flag, they have flags, but I think, doing the traditional or the typical 7-on-7 flag for MHSAA would be amazing. I know that There are clubs now started. Like last spring, we had a club that participated. I think it was out of Ford Field. And I don't know how many times they played, but it's just great for the girls. And I think it's an awesome sport. And yeah, for sure, I see this headed in that direction.
Well, who are some of the players to watch on your side of things coming up?
That's also a great question. I talked with the coach and, you know, his kind of response is just that there's just an all around commitment from this team and athleticism. You know, he said they have a great football IQ. So it just seems like a well-rounded, you know, the whole team all together. I heard our O-line is good. And we have our quarterback is Molly McLeod. And you know, other great seniors. We're just super excited to see them play, and they've been putting a lot of time and effort and energy into it. So I think they're just ready to go. So I think they're all super excited and you know, all ready to put their best foot forward, as they say, and work together. So
yeah, Molly McLeod, that kind of sounds like a star quarterback name. But what other events are you kind of alluded to? You know, it's a big ramp up. It's not like, hey, you know, we play this week. What events are happening around the school kind of leading up to it?
Yeah, the girls are, you know, they wear their jerseys all week. They're, you know, they're just kind of getting hyped up and excited. We have an assembly on Friday, a barbecue with the dads club Friday evening. We have mass. The girls all come to mass in our chapel, the team, before they head out to Catholic Central this year is where the game is being hosted. And so I think we do a lot of bonding and support throughout the week, just, you know, to get the girls to let them feel supported and get them excited. And again, I think some of these are their favorite memories is the buildup to the event and all of the fun things that they do to celebrate and get together. And so those are just a few of the activities that we do this week that just, you know, make the game exciting for them and build support in the community too, with parents and other students. So, and it's fun for the lower class, the underclassmen. So the freshmen, sophomores and juniors to watch this and then they get excited, you know, when it's their opportunity as seniors.
All right. Awesome. Well, we appreciate your time. Have fun out there because I know it's definitely something that everybody looks forward to on the school side. And, we appreciate your time and we look forward to hearing about what happens.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. And yeah, we're very excited. Go Mustangs.
All right. That's Heather Soffrin back with more after this here on Inside CHSL.
When you choose where to bank, do Catholic schools benefit? When you choose Alliance Catholic Credit Union, they do. Do business with a business that cares about the Catholic community. Join Alliance Catholic Credit Union today. Apply online in minutes at alliancecatholic.com. Alliance Catholic Credit Union is a proud sponsor of the Catholic High School League.
Well, from the Marion perspective, we head to the Regina perspective now. Proud to be joined by Emily Fricken, the AD at Warren Regina. And Emily, I know this is something that's near and dear to your heart. You even have some representation behind you here today as we do this interview.
Yes, my Powder Puff jersey is hanging proudly in my office. Ever since I've been back at Regina, it's been hanging in a classroom, an office. And I even got the flags that I actually wore in my Powder Puff game with the jersey. So it's definitely, it's my favorite time of the year, without a doubt.
What are some memories from when you played and what position were you?
I was a linebacker. I was captain of the defense. And honestly, and I joke around with the girls about this all the time, I wish we kept stats because I would have loved to have known how many flags I actually got in my game. And I remember everything about that game. I can remember from the kickoff to the final 2 minutes of the game. I remember starting practice. We start practice the third week of July, and we practice Monday through Thursday leading up to this single game in September. So it's something that every Regina student takes very seriously, and it's hard to describe, but it's definitely the best Regina tradition that we have, in my opinion.
So, you know, kind of fast forwarding to, you know, when this game happens, obviously you're not playing anymore, but maybe you're hanging around the sideline or whatever you're doing, you know, in your admin role. But I mean, do those juices kind of come back to you like, oh, wow, yeah, that's what this was like again?
Oh, 100%. I'm on the sideline with the girls, and I love the energy in our building from the seniors who are playing all the way down to the freshmen. This week is the most exciting week I think we have in our building, and every teacher, every student, they're feeling that excitement. It's a great time to be in our building this week.
Well, who are some players to look out for this year on your team?
Offensively, we have two awesome quarterbacks. Sarah Wilking, who's a three sport athlete here. She's our starting pitcher as well, starting setter on volleyball, starting shooting guard on basketball. So she's one of our quarterbacks. Also Bella Mannion, who's another quarterback. But I mean, we have just great athletes. Offensively, Sabrina Sokol and Sophia Swatulski. On the defensive side, Jenna Moeller, Lily Penna, Sarah Ibrahim, really quick girls. And then Megan Griswack on the defensive line right there. So it is it's going to be a tough battle on Saturday.
For someone who's never attended something like this before, you know, give us a taste for the sights and sounds. What are they going to experience?
They are going to experience a flag football game that they have never experienced before. I think that if you're not a part of the Regina or Marion communities, you hear, oh, it's just a Powder Puff game, but it is so much more than that. Like I said, we start practicing in July for this game, and this is one game. Like, this is the Regina Super Bowl right here. The girls are going to be extremely intense, extremely competitive, and this game dictates the entire year. I'm not lying. They will talk about this win for the entire school year. So it is not your typical flag football game by any means.
You know, flag football in general has picked up steam. We even saw some games down at the Prep Kickoff Classic where they kicked off
Yeah.
the boys' football too. Do you see Regina particularly looking to add this maybe in the future as a sport?
You know what? I'm not really sure, just because this one game is such a big tradition with us. We've actually, Regina's been playing this single Powder Puff game since 1966. We started in 1966 with a few other schools in the area, kind of played Dominican, Our Lady Star of the Sea when they were a high school, St. Clement. And we didn't start playing Marion until 1981. So we've been playing Marion ever since 1981. And I think that it's really exciting that flag football is becoming so popular for young women. I'm not sure if that would take away from our tradition for our seniors. So that's something that we'll just have to think about for the future.
Yeah, no, I like that. Obviously, because you want to preserve the history, but you also want to kind of, I don't know, like scratch that itch if there's
Yeah,
really
right.
you want
Yeah.
to, you know,
I'm
do
sure
it
that
full
if
time per se.
you, yeah, and I'm sure that if you talk to some teams that maybe have lost over the years at Regina, they're like, oh yeah, let's play again. I mean, we're going for the eight-peat though this year. So a lot is on the line. And so yeah.
Well, Emily, we really appreciate your time. Certainly, you know, if you have the chance to get out there, even if you don't necessarily have a tie on either of these two teams, I think it'd be a good idea. And best of luck to Regina going forward.
Thank you so much. We're really excited. Go Mambas.
Well, our thanks to Emily Fricken and Heather Soffrin for joining us. Heather Soffrin, the Marion president and alumnus there as well. Emily Fricken, of course, the Regina athletic director and alumnus as well. I think it was cool to hear their perspective because I know Heather didn't play in the game she wanted to, but you know, focusing on volleyball a little bit more at that point in her career, and trying to advance to college, Emily did. But it's always cool to get that perspective as a student, and you see this a lot, right? Whether you end up at a school, your specific school that you graduated from, or just a Catholic League school in general, or a Catholic school, whether maybe you relocate. But I think the same camaraderie exists in terms of the brotherhood and sisterhood that goes on, and the combination when you have the co-ed schools as well. But you get a lot of these traditions that come out, and it's always cool to see it on the flip side and see those same type of feelings that get reinvigorated in you, like a player going back to see the game for the first time, maybe when they haven't played. But I think some really good moments brought out by both of those two guests today.
No question. Well, and it was talked about. You think about not only the energy that it brings in your building, the camaraderie that it brings in your building, a way to connect your freshmen to your seniors, and obviously sophomores and juniors as well. It brings the entire school community together. Then you add in the alums that come back and go to watch that game, that put on their old jersey, that enjoy the festivities, that take so much pride. It is such a cool and unique tradition between those two schools. And it gets the press coverage that it deserves because it really is remarkable. And will be exciting to see if Regina can keep that win streak going, or if this is the year Marion finally breaks the streak, gets a win back, and inches closer in that overall series, Jeremy.
Well, and again, that's an event, Brendan, that's obviously well known about across the Catholic League community. But maybe if you have something coming up, whether it's a charity game or a big matchup that you don't think it's going to get covered by the media, we want to hear about it. You can tweet at us at Inside CHSL. You can tweet at us at our personal handles as well. And if you're an athletic director, you have the option to submit through our Google form each week as well that will be sent out by the AOD office. Again, we talk about this a lot, but we're not being lazy. We want to highlight the things that are not being highlighted. And again, we can't be at every game. We can't be in every school. So the more you tell us, the better this podcast will be for you and the student athletes going forward as well.
No question about that. Well, we appreciate you joining us again this week here on Inside CHSL. For my co-host, Jeremy Otto, I am Brendan Johnson, and we'll see you next week for another great edition of the official Catholic League podcast. It's Inside CHSL.